So we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. The three of us are going to stay up here, and we're going to have a conversation together. During the soccer camp, the leaders sat together in groups with some of the kids, and they told stories and talked and had a conversation about a bunch of stuff. But we're going to basically do the same thing right here. And one of the things that we believe at Richmond, no, where are we? Sorry about that. That was the last place.
Where do you live, Jeff?
Wherever you live, we believe this. Campbell River, thank you.
It's the same in Richmond, though. They believe the same stuff we do, right?
It is the same, yeah. So at Campbell River Baptist Church, we believe that God's given us a job to do. And so we have a raison d'etre. What does raison d'etre mean? Anybody? That's a Norwegian phrase, right? It means what? Reason to be. So we have a reason to be. We have a reason to exist. God's given us a purpose, and that purpose is to help more and more and more people get to know the love of God through Jesus. That is why we exist. That's why we have the soccer camp. That's why everything we do at Campbell River Baptist Church is about that mission. So here it is back here, leading people to become committed followers of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're about. This is kind of cool, sitting in this. Swing around.
I've been spinning around a little bit, too. This is great.
Yeah, it's going to get distracting if we do too much, so.
All right.
So the God who created the heavens and the earth, everything that exists loves us. That's pretty phenomenal, isn't it? That is such a phenomenal truth. Now I believe that everybody has a knowledge of God. Even if they say they don't have a knowledge of God, there is something inside them that draws them to God. When Ruthie and I lived in Vancouver, we taught a class for people who were seeking faith. They were curious. They were wondering, who is God? Why do I exist? Is there a God, really? And it was a diverse group. We had, I don't know how many different, it was a small group, probably changed from time to time, but about 12, 15 people sometimes, and very diverse, Asian, like Chinese, Filipino, Korean, had a guy from Quebec, and lots of different nationalities, very diverse group, different ages, and we had this one lady who was from mainland China, and she said she didn't believe in God, and she wasn't interested, actually, in seeking. She was just there to practice her English. And we said, okay, well, that's fine. That's a great reason to be here, too. You can practice your English with us here. And after one of the classes, I told the group that I believe that everybody has a knowledge of God in them. And she said, no, that's not true. Everybody doesn't have a knowledge of God. Well, she went home that night, and on her way home, she's driving her car, and she went through an intersection. Somebody else went through a red light the other way. The car came careening towards her. She looks and she sees this car, and all of a sudden she says, help me, God. And then for some reason she said this car missed her. She doesn't know how it happened, but the car missed her. Well, she came back the next week and said, okay, maybe I do somehow believe there is a God. I called out to someone. I don't know who I called out to, but from now on I'm going to be listening as we talk about who this God is. So we believe that the God who created the heavens and the earth loves us intensely and is seeking us like the hound of heaven. He's seeking us hard, and he wants us to enter into if you can believe this, the God who created the heavens and the earth wants us to have a relationship with him. That's pretty crazy, I think. That's why we exist, to help people get to know this God who loves them. Because when you get to know the God who loves you, it changes everything. It changes everything. We sang a lot about that in the song. Songs today. I want to read a passage of Scripture that talks about this love. And I'm going to turn around here and put my back towards some of you. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. So this is the God who created everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Now, this is a prayer for everyone here. Then, Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power to work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Or amen, depending on your accent. Like, though that's some amazing truth. And when we get to know that God loves us, this is the God who created the heavens and the earth, who is all-powerful, who is sovereign, who is completely in control. He loves us. Then we can. There's a lot of things that we can know, and we're going to talk about some of that this morning. So, in your classes, you're sitting in little groups, right, and divided up, and you talked about some things. And the first thing you talked about was this. So, yeah. Tell us about that, Adrian.
Yeah. So we had eight teams. All represented by a country. My country was Spain, and I had 10 4 to 7 year olds. So 10 of them. Age 4 to 7. It was some days like herding cats, but I learned to count to 10 because I did it all day long, all week long. So, but yes, the first day we talked about. So we were just talking about who is God. And in Genesis 1:1 it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, this is the God that Pastor Jeff was just talking about. He created everything. He created everything, including the heavens and the earth. And so we spent some time on what that looked like. Because I asked the kids, I said, so have you ever made anything? One kid said he made a water gun.
That's impressive.
That is impressive. But we talked about how they made forts. We talked about how they made sandcastles and how they made this and how they made that. But in all those things that they made, they had to have the stuff. So for them to make forts, you know, they had to have wood and lumber and nails, or they made it out of the cushions in their couch. But they still had to have stuff. When they made sandcastles, they needed a bucket and water and sand and all those things. What this passage is talking about that we shared was that God just breathed it into existence. He did it out of nothing. And so that was pretty neat. And then we went on in verse 26 it says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And so we spent some time here in the fact that he not only made those things that we see, but he made man and woman. And he made you and I. And so, you know, I went through my kids. I said, you know, Braxton, he made you, and Ethan, and Jeremy, and I just went through all 10 of them, and the fact that he made them, and when he was done making them, he said it was very good. When God did the other things in the other days, he said it was good, but when he finished making man and woman, he said it was very good. And we talked about, and they were, this is what they were most excited about, because he made them because he loved them. Mm. And so we spent a bunch of time there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And even into one thing when I was teaching this in my group, is I realized just how smart kids are, and sometimes how dumb adults are. A little while ago with the youth, I got them to read through Genesis 1, and so the teenagers. And I could tell that they've been already influenced by their parents, because I'm like, what stands out here? And they're like, oh, well, I wonder what this word means in the Greek. And they go into like minutiae, and I'm like, wonder how long a day is. And I'm like, really? How about the part when God created the heavens and the earth? Why didn't that stand out? Because that stands out for me. When we talked about this with the kids, I'm like, oh, God made all the animals. Really? Even the giraffe? Yes, he made that one too. Isn't that great? Yeah. And they got it. That God even made the giraffe. He made all the animals, and how wonderful that is. So yeah,
that's pretty cool.
That was cool.
That's pretty cool. And the God is amazingly creative. I mean, even when you take a look at people and our different personalities, we are all different. And that's okay, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Great.
As a matter of fact, it's great, because if there is more than one of me, you know, not good. We only need one of me.
Ruth is nodding.
Yes, yes. Just one of me. Yeah. Right, so day two, Steve.
Yeah, great day. Theme was, I can talk to God. So the passage we talked about here says this: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So we talked about kids being able to talk to God all the time. Whenever you're struggling, all throughout that, I shared some stories of when I was living in New York, and I was walking through the projects of New York, and it was scary sometimes, and I'd always be throwing up prayers to God, and he kept me safe. And one of the questions that came up was, what would you ask God if you could ask him anything? And it reminded me, their answers reminded me of that Jesus is their friend. Because one kid asks, oh, I wonder what God's favorite color is. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't know. That's a pretty good question. That's a question that you would ask your friend. What's your favorite color? And Jesus actually says that he is their friend. He doesn't call us slaves. He says, I call you friend. That's something, that's an attribute of God that I forget. You know, we think we pray to Father God, we pray to the Creator. He's also our friend, and you can talk to him about what's going on in your life. You know, if some of the kids had difficult things they were going through, and they're just like, oh, God, why did this happen? And just talking to him like a friend, and also, you even see in Jesus, sometimes the kids just run right up to him and start asking questions. People are trying to get rid of the kids, take them away from Jesus. And that's the attitude that God wants. He wants us to just run up to him, ask him whatever's on our mind. He's not going to get annoyed by our questions. He just wants that relationship, and the kids got that. So I thought that was really cool.
That's great. I think his favorite color must be orange.
Well, it's a pretty good color. Yeah.
Isn't it? It's pretty
cool. What do you think, Adrian?
I think he created them all, so...
Play it safe.
Yeah. That's right. In our group, it was this was the toughest day for us in our small groups. It really was. It was tough to get conversation going. But the two things that came up was when we give thanks for the food, because we do this story time right when we get our snacks, so we pray and we give thanks for the food, and that's what one of the kids said. That's what we're doing when we pray, and he's exactly right. When we pray and give thanks, we're talking to him, and we're giving thanks for what he's given us. And another kid said that he would pray when he's scared at night. And I went, yeah, that's exactly. We need to run to God. We need to talk to him when we're happy, when we're sad, when we're scared. And so those were the two things that came out of that day.
That's great. And it's not just kids, right? It's every single one of us. You know, we can have a relationship with the God who created the heavens and the earth, the only one who is self-existent. He had no beginning, he will have no end. And he is the only one like that. And he created us all, and we can have a relationship with him. And so when we are scared, and as adults, we get scared too, don't we? We have a lot of fears. Some of our fears are well-founded. Some of them are not so well-founded, but we might have some emotional baggage that we're carrying, and we've got some fears about that. And in those times, we can call out to God, who wants us to be close to him, who is always seeking us, and say, God, I need you. I'm scared. Help me. And help me is the most profound prayer that we can ever pray. Just help me, God. Help me. Next day.
Next day was day 3. And our main point was God created us all different, and he wants us to use our talents to help others. And so the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. So these are gifts that God has given each and every one of us. And this was interesting because I had just said that day 2, our discussion didn't go that well. It really didn't. It was, we were distracted. We had, it was just hard to get along during the conversation. And day 3, I have to tell you, was absolutely glorious. We get to this passage, and we start talking about that he gives us gifts to help one another. And you gotta know, we're also doing our snack time at this time. And so snack time, we have watermelon, we have oranges, we have crackers. And, you know, this child says he doesn't like oranges, and this child doesn't like watermelon. This child only likes these crackers and not these crackers. And forget about the questions that came out of this one. I had kids just giving their oranges to another, and this person was giving their crackers, whether they liked them or not. And it wasn't one or two, it was the entire group. It really was. And that was one of the highlights that came out of all week in our story time. Because that's what Scripture's about. Mm. Scripture's not about knowing lots about what the Bible says for the sake of knowing lots. God wrote us, gave us the Bible, wrote us these letters through man to change us. Mm-hmm. So that we could become more like him. And it really happened. Like, it just happened. Not because of anything I said. It just happened. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
It truly was.
That's cool. That's a great live illustration of that truth, isn't it?
It really was.
That everything God gives us is he gives us to benefit others.
Yeah.
It's not to hoard and to, you know, and whether we're kids or whether we're adults, God doesn't give us the things he gives us so that we can build an empire. He gives us what he gives us so that we can bless others. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And we're doing it. We were playing soccer as this is going too. So I, with my group, I just talked about soccer and how we make a good soccer team. You can't have everyone trying to score goals because then your own net's empty, and you can't have everyone back there because then you're never going to score. And even as our week went through, we started to figure out, you know, where am I best at? Where can I be the most help? And together, we come together as a team, and for them to see that it's more than just soccer. Mm. This is in life, too, was really cool.
Yeah, and great point, because like we said before, God does create us all differently. We have different talents. And Paul talks about what the body looks like in Corinthians, and that, you know, a body is made up of different parts. And what we think in our Western society is so important is the physical looks. You know, we have all the glamour magazines and all these crazy magazines that glorify the body, when really the most important parts are inside us. You cannot live without a physical heart. You need a heart. You need a liver. You need the parts that you have inside. They are hidden, but they are so important. And same with the body of Christ, people. The parts that we think are the most important parts are not the parts that are always the most visible. Sometimes they're behind the scenes. Those are some of the most important parts. And it's a great, great lesson. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Day four was, this is where we get to the center of the gospel. We're asking the question, who is Jesus? And verse we went through, Colossians 1:16.
Make sure you hold that in front of your face there.
All right, I'll do my best. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. So, like I said, Jesus, when you pick up a Bible, it's kind of deceiving. If you want to find Jesus, he's right near the end there, but that's the center of it all. That's actually the center of human history. Everything points to Jesus Christ. Or it's not a coincidence our calendar's based around his birthday. And we talked about a bit about his character. Perfect person. Never stole, never lied. Asked some of the kids, you know, have you ever lied? Most of them put their hands up, and then the liars didn't. And so
same as us.
Exactly. Yeah. And also a little bit about his character. Someone who's perfect, yet humble and forgiving. Another verse I talked about says, which comes with a ton of context, says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. A whole bunch around that, but this verse really applies to everything. You know, I'll be the first, I admit, I screw up a ton. And I am in constant need of forgiveness. I'm constantly hurting people. I'm constantly disappointing people, constantly disappointing my boss, I'm sure. And always screwing up. And the interesting thing is that Jesus is the only person who lived a perfect life who is the only one who has the right to judge me. But he didn't. He forgave me. And says, you know, it's fine, come here. I want a relationship with you. It's okay. I think of when they caught the woman in adultery. This woman brought out, Pharisees say, Jesus, what should we do to her? The law says to stone her. And he says, okay, whoever hasn't sinned, throw the first stone. And he forgives this woman. I think that's me, too. Constantly screwing up, Jesus lived this perfect life. He's forgiven us. So.
And it's only because he lived a perfect life. So God always judges sin. So sin has to be dealt with. My sin has to be dealt with. Your sin has to be dealt with. Every sin has to be dealt with. So someone has to pay. Someone has to pay. And the phenomenal truth that Steve is talking about here is that God paid it for us. Which is pretty amazing. God paid it for us so we could be forgiven, because the center of it is he loves us. Wow. That's great. Anything to add to that?
No, that's great.
A wise one?
That's fantastic.
You look so wise with
your... fantastic.
Doesn't he look wise? The little goatee there?
Only to those who don't know me.
I think you're wise. All right, next.
And so we ended the week on, so why did he come? Right? Because Jesus was in heaven. Why did he come? Why did he come and be born in a manger? We spent some time like on day four and how he was born, who he was, the fact that he led a sinless life where he didn't do anything wrong. And I showed my kids that yes, they had, even though some of them said that they hadn't done anything wrong, that we all have. But the reason that Jesus come was because we can't make it right. Because sin is anything that we do in rebellion against God. Right? And he gets to set the rules because, well, we settled that in day one. He created everything, including you and me. And someone does have to pay for our sin because of all of God's attributes, one of them is the fact is that he's holy, which means he abhors, he detests, he cannot be around sin. And so the fact that Jesus came, led a sinless life, and paid the price by going to the cross. He went to the cross and he was crucified for everyone. He came. And so the scripture we talked about was John 3:16 and 17. And it says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Because someone had to pay for the sin. And he took all of the sin on him on the cross. And if it ended there, then we don't need to be here. But it didn't end there. Because Jesus rose. And he's alive today. And that is who we worship. A risen Lord, a risen Savior. And that's why he came. He came because he loves us. That's why he created us. That's why he pursues us when we run away all through history. And that's why we worship him even today. Because he lives, he came for us, and he wants to have a relationship with us. And that's what we spent our time on. And that took a little while with the young kids. But I can tell you that without prompting, because I didn't even talk about heaven, and they all started talking about, well, that's why I get to go to heaven. And so that was pretty cool.
Cool.
Wow.
Anything profound in your...
The message itself is so profound. I can't get it. Being so selfish myself, for someone to come, for God to come down on earth to go through all that, for me, for you guys, absolutely unreal. I can't add any more to that because that's just the most profound thing.
Cool. I want to read one more scripture for you, and it's not up there, but it's John 1. Now, for those of you who don't know, there's four books at the beginning of the New Testament. The Bible is divided up into Old and New Testament, and the four letters in the start of the New Testament, they're called Gospels, and they're stories about Jesus. And then the fourth Gospel is called John. And John 1:1 says this, "In the beginning, the Word already existed." And the word "Word" here is capitalized. Okay, so Word with a capital W. "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed." So now John is calling the Word a he. He's giving a personal pronoun, he. "So he existed in the beginning with God." Now just before this, he said he's not only with God, but he says he was God. Okay, so let me read it again. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. So he is God. He not only was... This is really confusing. You'll never understand it, because I'll never understand it. Well, sorry, that shouldn't be why you wouldn't understand it. Because some of you are a lot smarter than I am. But it's incomprehensible. But God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. That's verse 5. And then we go down to verse 14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. The Word became human and made his home among us. In Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of this, he says, he moved into the neighborhood. When Ruthie and I were deciding where to live in Camel River when we moved here, we were praying, God, help us to move into the neighborhood. This is the theological term for this is incarnation. So God became man. That's called incarnation. God became man. So we're talking about Jesus here. Okay? So we're praying, God, incarnate us. Show us where you want us to live so that we can be like Jesus in our community, so that people, our neighbors, can get to know us, and so that not just that they can get to know us, but that they can get to know Jesus through us. And so we prayed a lot about that. The Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. And then in chapter 3, we read, for God loved the world so much, 3:16, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's the center, as Steve said, of everything. Everything begins there. Life begins there. And as we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 3, when we receive this gift, God's offering us this gift of his Son, Jesus, of forgiveness. When we receive that gift by faith, then Ephesians tells us that Jesus makes his home in us. And then we can talk to God. We can enjoy him. We can, no matter what we're facing, we can say, God, I need you. I need you. I need you right now. And some of you might be experiencing some painful times right now. I know some of you are. Because that's life. Right? Life is hard. And in those times, God speaks. He comes beside you. And he says, I care about you. And I want to love you in this. And I am big enough. I am the God who created the heavens and the earth. Is anything too difficult for me? No, nothing is.